Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, enable notifications if you are a YouTube subscriber so you get instant updates every time we put up a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. While you're at it, if you're sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 every single year, you got to get the latest and greatest wrestling video game. Stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook, where you can create your own wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users, totally free. And if you sign up for Wrestler Unstoppable, do a search for Universal Wrestling Evolution, that is my company, and I will kick you a huge contract to sign with my corporation in Wrestler Unstoppable. If you are all in, if you're all about the all-in promotion and you want to get your gear, go to frowrestling.com, go to the center of the page at frowrestling.com, and you will see the link to all the all-in gear, as well as updates on all the people who should be appearing at the StarCast event the day before. Check that out. Also, if you're in the Quakertown area, June 23rd, the Quakertown Farmers Market, the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance, presents to you a Lego Deathmatch for the WWA World Heavyweight Championship. Wyndham James Winthrop III will take on Ken Andrews. Should be a great match. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shoutouts, like our good buddy Harold in St. Louis. Harold, always love hearing from you. Great conversation this week. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/frowrestlingpodcast and sign up today. Don't forget, if you want to co-host an episode of Going Live with me, we have our loyalty rewards. Every $25 contributor would get a chance to co-host an episode, and $10 a month contributors get entered into a drawing to do so as well. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget, fan voting in the Elite 8 round of our Dream Match tournament is going on right now. Don't forget to pop over and do that. I'm closing the voting tonight at midnight. Get in there, get your votes in for the Dream Match tournament. Our Elite 8 is an incredible round. Check that out at frowrestling.com and click on the fan vote tab. We're going to be taking questions and comments all throughout the show. If you get this episode through any of the major streaming networks, feel free to use the chat function. I'll get your comments into the episode that we're doing right now. If you want to leave a message for us for a future episode, go to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160 and give us your questions, your comments, anything you want us to talk about. Put it all in there. It's a talk-to-text service. It's like a voicemail that converts it to a text and sends me your information, and I can address it. Make sure you give me your name in your comment so I can give you the shout-out on the episode for your questions. Don't forget, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, go to our homepage, frowrestling.com, and preview all the topics coming to the Fro Wrestling Podcast. It's a great way to come up with anything you want us to cover on a future episode, or if you just want to give us your feedback on things that have been going on in the world of professional wrestling, things you want us to talk about, we can do that. Pop onto there, give us some information, and we'll have an opportunity to get your questions, your comments, your topics into one of our episodes. Let's jump right in. It's been a very long week, a lot of things going on. The headline this week on the Fro Wrestling Podcast was Punk Wins, Punk Wins, Punk Wins. And then a couple days later, I had to change it to Punk wins, Punk wins, Punk wins, then loses. CM Punk wins his court battle against the WWE doctor, Mr. Amell. He wins. He does not have to pay him the $1 million in restitution for, you know, defamation of character and all these other things. It's a huge win for CM Punk and for Colt Cabana. Congratulations to both of them. And then, of course, UFC 225 takes place and CM Punk loses. Now, I've been watching the social media all week, and I've seen a lot of people have heard Corey Graves has sent some scathing remarks out about CM Punk, referencing that Punk held his child before he did in childbirth because he trusted Punk that much. They were close as brothers. He loved him like a brother, and that because Corey Graves remained employed with WWE in 2014, that CM Punk has totally turned his back on Corey Graves, and Graves absolutely went off on him in Twitter. You can check it out by going to Corey Graves' Twitter handle. I won't repeat them all here. I will just say this. Corey Graves was clearly shooting. It was not a work. This was not some company directive. This is Corey Graves venting some real frustration. I've heard other people talking about Punk exposing the business by going into UFC, losing again, makes it look like wrestlers are weak. Now, I would accept that if he was the only one doing it, but both Bobby Lashley and more specifically Brock Lesnar have proven that that is not the case. Brock Lesnar, the former UFC heavyweight champion, Bobby Lashley, with I believe it's a 15-2 record, he's not a slouch in the cage. So I don't think that CM Punk not being victorious and not being able to get the job done as a mixed martial artist is going to affect the perception of the toughness of professional wrestlers. And actually, if you watch the fight, the commentators themselves, though they repeatedly talked about how Punk was completely outclassed in this match, and his opponent was really not a phenomenal talent in and of himself, but the fact that he was outclassed and still kept coming back for more. I mean, Punk was shooting for takedowns all the way through all three rounds. It's not like he was just a laydown like the first fight where he got beat up in the first minute. It wasn't like that. Punk went the distance. He lost by a decision, 30-26. It was in all honesty, you got some pops out of the crowd. Punk did it when he got his first takedown. Even the announcers said during the fight that Punk might have won his first round in a mixed martial arts octagon, which was not the case. He lost all three rounds. But definitely an interesting fight. I enjoyed the fight, not because Punk lost or Punk won or anything like that, because it's nice to see him active in anything. That's what a diehard wrestling fan wants to see. Now, the frustration I have is that after it, and even before it, leading up to the fight, Punk kept saying how he's done with wrestling. Now, look, if you're that guy who you've stockpiled your money away and you never need to compete again because WWE paid you so well, follow me on this. WWE paid you so incredibly well that you never have to work again. Maybe you ought to think about what it is that you're really walking away from. A career and even a company who you may not like how you felt when you left the company. But what you can't deny is that company is the reason you don't have to work right now. You don't have to work. You made over $500,000 for the UFC fight, but that's tertiary compared to all the other money he made during his WWE run. The guy's smart with his money. I'll give him all the credit in the world. But here's the reality. He's a professional wrestler. It's what they do. If you don't want to wrestle anymore, that's fine. But turning your back on the industry is a problem for me. I was a diehard CM Punk fan. I love the straight edge lifestyle that he puts out there. But what I don't appreciate is someone who was very close to, and probably should have been, and it's one of his issues with WWE, a main event WrestleMania wrestler. I would argue that his match with The Undertaker pretty much was a main event, even if they didn't go on last. But the reality is, I mean, and just for a historical perspective on that, Hulk Hogan taking on The Rock did not go on last. If anybody remembers that year when Hogan and The Rock met for the first time, Triple H and Chris Jericho went on last. And the place was so deflated because it wasn't the real main event. It doesn't matter the order you go on. What matters is what the fan reaction to your match is. And the fans were dying to see CM Punk and The Undertaker. There was no concern there about the match not being good. Everybody wanted to see it. It doesn't matter if The Undertaker was getting long in a tooth and that CM Punk, you know, was significantly smaller. It was still a compelling match, and it was a believable match. So those things being said, Punk was an amazing talent while he was in the ring, but he's not in the ring anymore, and it's not because he couldn't be. And it's not because he has lingering issues from being a WWE superstar. It's because he's bitter. He's bitter at a business who gave him a dream life. The reality is, I understand he's talked about how he went through some depression and things of that nature, and how he doesn't like to be around crowds anymore, and that he and AJ Lee handle these things themselves. The only time they go into the crowd is the occasional Cubs game and going to see the Blackhawks in the playoffs. I get it. You don't love to be around it. That doesn't mean you can't show up once in a while. Now, I understand he's doing his pro wrestling tees signing in Chicago before the All In event, but he really ought to think about what it would mean to a business that gave him his dream life for him to walk out and just wave a hand at the people sitting at All In. That would be monumental. You know, too many people make their bread in WWE or in back in the day, WCW, and then they turn their back on the profession. There are others who hung onto it too long. Those are the people who it's sad to see them wrestling still. But CM Punk could still go. So if you're going to walk away and you're not going to wrestle anymore, at least make some appearances. You only, every day you wake up, what you have, you owe a piece of it to the people who paid to see you. Now, he would argue that they paid to see me then. They don't own me the rest of my life. No one tells me what to do. I get it. I agree with you on that. It's not about that. It's about character. It's about you at your core. Because the straight edge guy, all that talk you do about the straight edge stuff, what the heck does that mean if you're not a gracious human being? What does that mean if you can't give back to the profession? Look, I'm a teacher. And I promise you, I do public speaking and seminar engagements for free because I give back to the profession that made me who I am. That's what's important for people to do. When certain wrestlers show up as guest trainers at the Performance Center, unpaid some of them, they're giving back to something they're passionate about. And I just feel like, and it's purely my opinion, no one has to share it. If you do, I would love you to comment. Please click on the chat function. But I feel like when you're a star of CM Punk's caliber, you owe it to the wrestling fans who made your life what it is today to give back a little bit once in a while. I'm going to get off CM Punk and I'm going to move on with what I consider to be every bit as good a pay-per-view as Wrestle Freaking Mania. New Japan Dominion was off the charts. Amazing. Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada were stellar. They took that match to a whole nother playing field. I mean, they were out of this world. And Kenny Omega walking out as the new IWGP World Champion is huge. When you add to the fact that the match went over an hour and 12 minutes, and that they had this 2 out of 3 falls, Kenny losing the first fall, looking like he was going to, Okada was going to retain. It was amazing. Constant high spots, finishing holds, very brutal. The physicality was significantly higher than what I feel like any of their previous matches were. And I wonder, to a degree, if some of that is the influence of Chris Jericho, who, you know, the minute he showed up with Kenny Omega, got very physical. Attacking Naito was very physical. And at Dominion, the match between Jericho and Naito was also incredibly physical. Watching Chris Jericho walk out as the IWGP Intercontinental Champion was awesome. And even more awesome is after the show, the comments that Chris Jericho make about Tetsuya Naito being on the level of The Rock and Stone Cold and people of that nature, John Cena. That's monumental. That's an endorsement that you don't just get from anybody. And I would love it that Chris Jericho is gracious enough to do that, to tell people how amazing Naito is. At the end of their match, Evil ran out from Los Ingobernables de Japón to chase off Chris Jericho, probably setting up a match with him in the future. I don't like the way New Japan does that. When a champion loses his belt, he should get a rematch. It's just the way I feel. I think it leaves too many books open, and it doesn't close chapters like we need it to in a professional wrestling business. But I'll be very curious. And by the way, anybody who reads my editorial articles on ProWrestling.com, if you click on In Fro's Corner, would see that I predicted both of those championship changes, and I gave you booking all the way through Wrestle Kingdom as to why they needed to do these two title switches. By the way, also at Dominion, loved seeing the Young Bucks take the step up into the heavyweight division of tag team wrestling. They look great as the IWGP Tag Team Champions. Hiromu Takahashi, fresh off winning the Best of the Super Juniors tournament over Taiji Ishimori, comes out and wins the Junior Heavyweight Championship from Will Ospreay in an incredible, incredible high-flying match. And just the rest of the card, Michael Elgin winning the Never Openweight title, top to bottom. I really was frustrated. There's only one critique I will give New Japan about the Dominion card, the one area where they could have improved the card. Now, it plays right into what I think they should be doing at their future shows, but the IWGP United States Championship was not defended. Jay White got pinned clean in a tag team match, which makes the IWGP United States Championship look weak. It doesn't look like a really important championship when you're not even defending it at probably the second biggest show of the year. Of course, the G1 Climax is pretty huge, and Wrestle Kingdom is the king of all their shows, but I feel like Dominion has become like, It's almost like the Survivor Series or the SummerSlam to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? It's that big. And so I would have liked to have seen them showcase the IWGP United States Championship a little bit more, especially since they're going to be starting training at the American Dojo very soon. It just lends more credibility to their U.S. expansion and their U.S. brand. But otherwise, I encourage everybody, check out New Japan World or go to YouTube or wherever you have to go, Daily Motion or Twitch or whatever, and find all the matches from Dominion, or I'm sure in the near future you'll probably see all of them come to Access Television, who's been doing a great job of getting their pay-per-views to television pretty quickly. My understanding, the G1 special in at the Cow Palace is going to be live, but otherwise most of their shows within a month or so end up getting there. So check that out on Access TV, because the show was amazing. And speaking of talents that were there, one, I love the formation of the Golden Elite, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and his Golden Lovers tag team partner, Kota Ibushi, becoming the Golden Elite. They even have a t-shirt out now, which I would love to get. I just can't afford. If any of my listeners would like to purchase one of those and send them Mr. Fro's way, just let me know. I'll give you my address. I would appreciate it. But anyways, speaking of the Elite, though, they are in a fantasy dream match this Thursday. For those people who are diehard fans of E3, which is the electronics expo where they just demonstrate and display all the newest, latest, and greatest technologies, the Elite will be there. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks to take on the New Day in a Street Fighter V battle. And the part that I find fascinating about this is that WWE.com is promoting it. It's not often you would see the IWGP World and IWGP Tag Team Champions promoted on WWE.com facing one of their tag teams. But with the conversation about promoting Big E to being a major, major single star and the momentum that the New Day have right now on SmackDown, picking up some really impressive wins the last couple weeks, I think it only makes sense to put them in a great position with the Elite. I hope at some point, if anybody hasn't noticed, all these working arrangements with different companies, whether it's Evolve, ICW, Progress with WWE, or Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground in the United States from a secondary market, or even the New Japan Ring of Honor, New Japan Impact Wrestling thing. There's just so much talent being exchanged right now. CMLL and AAA sending people all over the place. Ray Phoenix, by the way, debuting with CMLL next weekend. All this talent exchange that's going on all over the place, WWE is the only place that doesn't do it, and maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. Maybe we need to see the New Day versus the Elite. Maybe we need to see some of those insane matches that the Elite have teased for years. Maybe we need to see the Revival versus the Young Bucks. WWE, I think, sometimes misses the boat on being able to make some serious coin. Let's face it, if you're Ring of Honor, an opportunity to do a WWE Network special with Ring of Honor talents versus WWE talents. WWE would have to be strategic in who they allow to be defeated by Ring of Honor talents. And Ring of Honor would have to be gracious enough to allow certain premium talents to be defeated by WWE stars. Let's face it, WWE is the biggest corporation in the world. If the Young Bucks face the Revival have to win. Otherwise, WWE looks bad. Actually, at this point, with the Revival being as down as they are, you probably could put the Young Bucks over. But then if you have a situation where you have somebody like a Kenny Omega versus Seth Rollins, you got to either have a schmoz ending or Seth Rollins goes over. That's the only way to book it. But hopefully we'll see more of this crossover stuff. I'm thrilled that WWE was promoting it. But Kenny Omega, because I can't get him out of the news, does have other huge news this week. Kenny Omega will be taking on Cody for the IWGP World Championship at the G1 Special. That is huge. And I love what Cody's doing right now. He's going to be facing Kenny Omega for the IWGP Championship there. He's going to be taking on Nick Aldis for the NWA Championship at All In. He's going to be taking on Dalton Castle and Marty Scurll for the Ring of Honor World Championship. How many World Championship opportunities is Cody going to get in the near future? Now, the only thing that he has left to do is to show up on an Impact Wrestling taping and challenge Austin Aries and pop onto a Lucha Underground and challenge Pentagon OM or Pentagon Jr., whatever you want to call him. I would love to see it. It's interesting to see how much Cody is really opening a lot of the gates for companies to work together and make some pretty unique opportunities. Austin Aries also on top of that. Anybody who watches Ring of Honor television last week got to see Austin Aries show up and challenge Silas Young for the television championship. It looked like he won the television championship for a moment until a second referee came out and overturned the decision. But great booking on the secondary market right now in the professional wrestling world. And it's something that I think a lot of people are realizing, that's the next boom in pro wrestling. It's not WWE. They have got too many hours of television and not enough creative juices flowing to make their product interesting. So instead, and I was talking about this the other day with another podcaster who focuses on wrestling, WWE can put out crap because a high percentage of their audience, you know, their 2.6 or 2.5 million people who tune in on Monday night, are the fly-by-night mainstream fans who tune in every Monday night, and they don't listen to this podcast. They don't listen to any podcast. They don't tune into all the websites like you do and like I do. They tune in to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, maybe 205 Live if they're super, you know, if they're so sucked into the network. But a lot of the people who are the main percentage of WWE fans are not the network subscribers. All right. So you and I, the people who tune into a podcast like this, we are so much more attuned to booking than the casual fans. So WWE can be lazy as they want. They're still going to make money hand over fist. Because the mass exodus of viewership that everybody keeps talking about in the ratings, Impact Wrestling does like 300,000 viewers. Ring of Honor does like 300,000 viewers. New Japan does like 300,000 viewers. WWE does 2.5 to 3 million viewers. They got a long way to go before they ever have to worry about somebody catching up to them. The reality is they're the biggest and the best show in the world. They just are lazy because they can be. You got somebody like Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan, Lucha Underground, and a host of indie shows. They have to put it all out there every single week because they're still trying to get those mainstream fans that only tune into WWE to turn the channel to something different, a little different presentation. Kenny Omega versus Cody at the G1 special is something that everybody should be tuning into. Hopefully they do. There's some conjecture going on right now about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view about whether or not we're going to see a surprise return of James Ellsworth. It was reported that he was going to be at Money in the Bank to interfere in some way in the Carmella Asuka match. I would not be surprised. I think it's a really good angle. I really thought WWE did him wrong. They should have kept him on staff. Now, here's the thing. I hated him paired with Carmella. I liked him for maybe 3 months, and that was over that. But I hated the way that he came in to SmackDown, looked like he might accidentally steal the championship at one point, thankfully didn't. But then I thought, you know, you could have at least, you know, in much in the way of a Rey Mysterio underdog character, you could have used him for something serviceable. Give him the 205 Live championship, you know, the cruiserweight title. Why you got to do the guy dirty like that and just cut him out of nowhere? I thought that was horrible. So, but then there are conflicting reports coming out saying that he's going to be in China wrestling, defending his intergender championship. I think if WWE comes knocking, he'll blow off any other competition that wants to book him. And any other talent would too. So those bookers and promoters out there who would be like, I won't book him if he turns his back to go to WWE, you would too. Don't act like you wouldn't. So, absolutely, hopefully James Ellsworth returns. Rey Mysterio is another one that we're talking about returning to WWE. He debuted for New Japan Pro Wrestling in-ring this past week at Dominion. His team was on the losing end of a six-man tag team match against the Bullet Club. But, that being said, it still looks like he's going to have at least one more match, probably one at the G1 special, possibly another one in August, and then it looks like before or early in September, it looks like they want to get Rey Mysterio to WWE, and part of it is they wanted to get him before the All In event. And my understanding is a lot of the WWE talents right now, the reason, for those who pay attention to this every year, WWE usually has this like purge period where they get rid of a whole bunch of talents, and they didn't do it yet this year. They've dropped a couple people here and there, minor names, but there's usually some big names that get let go, and it didn't happen yet this year. And the speculation is the 90-day no-compete clauses, if they hang on to them past a certain point, they won't be eligible to compete at All In. And that's what they're trying to prevent them from doing. Daniel Bryan is another person who's trying to figure out what's going on with All In, because it was revealed that Daniel Bryan's contract runs out September 1st, the day of All In. He doesn't know, and he needs a lawyer to explain to him, if his contract runs out September 1st, does it mean that it really runs out on August 31st at midnight, or is it September 2nd? If it's August 31st at midnight and it rolls to the 1st and then he's a free agent, he could be at All In. And he'd be interested. If he has to wait till the 2nd, I think we'll see him negotiate a new deal with WWE. I think he really wants to be at that All-In show, but he's going to do what's best for his long-term financial security. I think that would end up being a longer run with WWE. I'm really hoping part of his contract, it was rumored, was going to include a match with Brock Lesnar. Tough to make that happen if Lesnar leaves after SummerSlam. That is the word, that Brock Lesnar is going to drop that championship belt at SummerSlam or before, and that's going to be the end of this current run, and that, you know, Paul Heyman as well will be leaving the company. I hope that doesn't happen like that. I'd still like to see Daniel Bryan face Brock Lesnar. I still want to see Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar. I still want to see Seth Rollins against Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar. You see what I'm saying? There's some amazing matches for Brock Lesnar left, and because he wrestles so many limited dates, we haven't got to see a lot of them, but there's still a lot of them on the table that we still want to see. So hopefully they'll find a way to work some of that out. If he chooses not to go back to UFC, he has not gone back into the USADA anti-doping testing protocol, which he has to do for 6 months before he's allowed to return to the ring. Now, the big question was, would he go back to UFC to face John Jones? And the reality is, John Jones hasn't even had a sentence handed down by the USADA and cannot compete until they do. If they give him a 2 or 3 year ban or a 4 year ban, that's going to pretty much squash any opportunity for a fight with Brock Lesnar. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. But as I was started out with, Rey Mysterio still negotiating with WWE, James Ellsworth possibly coming back to WWE, somebody who already is in WWE, but interesting tidbits about their contract this week is Ric Flair's comments about Ronda Rousey, who is apparently, according to Ric Flair, and again, he admits that he's not the one who makes the deals, but he believes that her contract is only for 1 year and that she'll be gone after WrestleMania. So it makes sense that if you were doing that, that you would build her up, have that main event match with Charlotte at WrestleMania next year, and then she would ride off into the sunset. But I can't imagine that they would do this for a 1 year deal. She seems very much into the program. They really are trying to bring her up to speed and make her a focal point of the brand. And I think letting her go that soon would be a horrible miscalculation on their part. In her news, though, she was announced at UFC 225 that she will be the first person, the headliner, should I say, first female talent added to the UFC Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Ronda Rousey. She obviously deserves it. I didn't realize they were going to do it that fast. Obviously, they're not like other professional sports where you got to be retired for 5 years before you get in or whatever. Good for her. I hope WWE does her a solid and really promotes that. But the other negotiations of the week that are huge is Impact Wrestling, who is negotiating with Chris Jericho. It was verified this week that Impact Wrestling will be on the Cruise of Jericho as well as Ring of Honor. So we are expecting to see some cross-branded matches, some cross-branded storylines. Austin Aries already creating that, attacking Kenny King, having his match with Silas Young. He's done a lot with Ring of Honor already. I expect that there'll be more crossover. Sami Callihan potentially facing Chris Jericho at the show. I think that's a bad idea. I think that's where Jericho should have a match with one of the New Japan stars, because that's where he's vested his money right now. But if the Callihan match is what he wants, go for it. But in addition, at this point, Jericho looks like he's willing to negotiate with almost anybody. And he put out there this week that Vince McMahon was very supportive of his initial run in New Japan with Kenny Omega, that he was even okay with the matches with Tetsuya Naito, but that he hadn't really discussed with Vince McMahon the fact that he was going to win the Intercontinental Championship and stick around for an extended program. And that at some point, I think the quote was, he expects to get a call someday down the road. Basically, Vince calling and being like, dude, what are you doing? You know, he's a WWE guy through and through, but he's doing something unique and different. And I appreciate that. Keeps his character fresh. For anybody who watched the Dominion match, even his entrance was bizarre. He looked like a cross between like Adam Lambert and The Crow. I mean, it was really bizarre. So check that out if you haven't already. I want to talk a little bit about Baron Corbin's new role on Raw. Tonight, if you were watching Raw, he debuted his new haircut. He's bald. He's now the Constable Corbin, which I think is a horrible misuse of an incredible talent. Baron Corbin has a lot of skills. He's somebody who at one point was considered to be a world champion contender. That's why he won Money in the Bank, even though they took it away from him quickly. He deserves to have a better position on the show, but they have nothing for him creatively. And that's a problem considering how many faces you have on the card right now between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. Like, you just have too many good guys. It's time to have a little change at the top of the card. And the only way you're going to do that is to push some heels, some monster heels. And Baron Corbin could have been the guy to attack Braun Strowman. That feud is dying to happen and probably should have happened already. Should have been his first feud in the Raw brand, but hasn't happened. Now he's going to be like the lackey for Kurt Angle and obviously putting pressure on Angle to make decisions in the best interest of the authority, which I wish they would do away with and never talk about again. But it'll be curious to see how they book Corbin over the next few months. WWE News, they applied for new NWO trademarks, which could mean a lot of things. Maybe they're just selling some new merchandise. Maybe the Legends contracts were renewed for certain talents. Or maybe they're thinking about bringing back the faction with new members under the tutelage of a former member. And that is the rumor going around right now, is you could be seeing the return of someone, say, Kevin Nash. Or the big news of the week was that Hulk Hogan said that the conversations with WWE have been moving along at a rapid, swift pace. Can you not just see Hulk Hogan debuting with a new version of the NWO, which would be why they got those trademarks? Now, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. Let the NWO die and create a new faction. And if you're going to do that, listen to Rey Mysterio. He wants to bring back the Latino World Order with all the Latino superstars in WWE. And if you look at that roster, that would be pretty impressive. I actually would love that. A new NWO, not a huge fan of. What I am a huge fan of is Jack Swagger moving over to Lucha Underground. He is still pursuing his Bellator career. He expects to debut for Bellator towards the end of the year, but he is going to be filming episodes of Lucha Underground with their promotion, and he will be one of their newest talents. I'm glad to see him back in a ring. I hope they push him the right way. A former world champion who really, if pushed differently, could have stayed at the top of the card, and for whatever reason, it just never seemed to come together for him. Hopefully, things will be better for him now that he'll be in Lucha Underground. Maybe he'll get some more traction. I would love to see him against Marty the Moth or some of the other talents there that he really could do some special things with. So we'll have to keep an eye on what he does when he arrives. Another tidbit from this week was WWE is now having issues with Madison Square Garden. MSG has always been home to WWE since going all the way back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it was, with Capital Wrestling Corporation, Vince Sr., eventually it was Vince Jr. They always go to MSG. There was a short period of time where WCW had a couple shows there, but generally speaking, WWE has had a stronghold on MSG. But because of WWE booking so many shows outside of Madison Square Garden in the same Metro New York area, that Madison Square Garden is now open to booking other corporations at their venue, which I would love to see All In 2 there, except that Cody Rhodes was trash-talking about how he would never bring the show to New York to begin with. Bad idea for marketing. At some point, you would want to go there no matter what your marketing plan is. But we'll have to keep our eyes on that because it looks like that would be a great opportunity for Ring of Honor with this All In success. Ring of Honor needs to pair up with Impact, with New Japan, with Lucha, with all of them, and put on a mega card. Kind of like the AWA Supercards or the Star Wars events that they put together with AWA and the NWA and Continental and all these places, World Class. They used to bring them all together every now and again and have one of these major cross-branded cards. That's what they need to do and sell out Madison Square Garden without WWE's banner on the marquee. That would send a message to Vince McMahon. He always thinks, erroneously, that everybody needs him and that he doesn't really need anybody else. He's just going to make money either way. I disagree completely. So hopefully this will send a message if somebody else jumps in there to Vince McMahon about what he really needs to do and how he needs to change his approach to the wrestling business for the 21st century. That is all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks as always go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects that we use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move and you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our other website at frolifeplanning.com for all your educational needs, as FroLife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with FroLife. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us this evening. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, I got two places for you. TSJSports101.com, and that's where you're going to see the latest articles from the world of professional wrestling. Actually, it's TSJ101Sports.com. I said that backwards. Or come to our website, FroWrestling.com, and click on In Fro's Corner for our latest editorial pieces of our own. We look forward to talking to you guys and getting some chat function going with you guys in our next episode. But until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great night and enjoy the rest of Monday Night Raw. I'm going to go check it out right now myself. Have a great night, everybody. Goodbye.